Hello and welcome to the Good Leadership Podcast, where today Kevin Sensenig and I will be discussing how we define accountability. I'm Paul Botts, the founder and CEO of Good Leadership.
And I'm Kevin Sensenig, the President and Chief Learning Officer at Good Leadership. And for those new to our podcast and our organization, Good Leadership is an organizational effectiveness firm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, focused around the concept that goodness pays.
So what do we mean by goodness then? It probably deserves to be said that based on our research, goodness is defined as when people thrive together in a culture of encouragement, accountability, and positive teamwork. The thrive together concept creates the perfect platform for the coaching processes we use to create team alignment, and then also the leadership development programs that increase organizational capacity.
So again, thank you for joining us today. And as Paul mentioned, the topic of today is how do you define accountability? And if you're new to the discussion around accountability, you may want to go back and listen to the Good Leadership Podcast episode released in November of 2023 titled Exciting News, Accountability Research Project in 2024. And that would be a great one to kind of build that context around this conversation. So as we jump into this conversation today, Paul, start us off with some of your initial thoughts and perspectives of how we've gotten to this point of defining accountability and where we're at in the process so far.
Well, I'm going to jump back to the original idea, the original conversation when a CEO said to me, well, what does accountability mean then if I take off the concept that you're fired? And I was kind of taken back at the simplicity of that question. And I said, well, that means a lot of things. And we kind of went all over the place. And so here we are now diving in to try to figure out what does accountability mean if we take away the concept of you're fired? How about you, Kevin?
Well, I think it's interesting because the topic today is defining accountability. And when you try to research how people define accountability, they use the word right in the definition. They say it's the state of being accountable. Well, that doesn't really help me understand accountability. So no wonder people are confused about what is accountability and how do I actually build a healthy sense of accountability.
Well, and then there's the character-based piece of it where it says an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. And, you know, when I hear account for one's actions, all I can think about is the political reporting around accountability. When you hear of a police officer who does something that people don't like, well, then they need to be accountable for their actions, or a politician who accepts a bribe, or name your subject of the day. And so it's no wonder that in general, when we start talking about this concept, people cringe because it's an overwhelmingly negative, punitive concept.
Well, as you say that, it goes to the challenge of people blending together the idea of responsibility and accountability. So you're not accountable if you didn't hit a responsibility I thought you had versus that personal connection around accountability, that commitment to one another piece that seems to be missing in the generic definitions of accountability today that I think we're going to talk about in a little bit. Can you help us move that forward?
So to back up and explain this process here, in order to research a subject like this, we think it's important to put together a steering team. And in this particular case, there were 15 people who represent partners and clients of our firm, Good Leadership. They, each one of those people chipped in some money and is putting their time into helping us think through how do we go about the research and then giving us access inside their organizations for us to do interviews and some survey work. The steering team conversation, as we talked about another podcast, was really stimulating. It was also exhausting. But one of the most important things we did, and also the wonkiest thing we did, was to ask them to work in groups of three and write down statements for how they thought they could define, in this case, healthy accountability. And I think, Kevin, you and I should just go back and forth and read the 10 statements they put out there so our listeners can understand the kind of spaghetti bowl of issues we've got to work through in order to get to a definition. So you ready?
Excellent. Yep.
Okay. So number one, accountability is trust-based, and it's frequently communicating and consistently rewarded, and it avoids consequences.
Number two, it's the art of possibility, leading from every chair.
Number three, it's about consistency, routines, trust, vulnerability, feedback, and belonging in a culture of reward, recognition, communication, and clarity.
Number four, consistently providing productive feedback rather than punitive consequences.
Number five, taking ownership for an error and knowing who is impacted by this error.
Number six, delivering on what was said and asking for help or checking in with others.
Number seven, allowing others to inspect your work because you have shared goals and seek focus and clarity to achieve those goals.
Number 8, personal connections that bring out the best in one another.
Number 9, clear roles on a team that is connected, communicative, and disciplined in a culture of curiosity, trust, respect, and grace.
And finally, number 10, a mentality of we need each other.
I got to admit, it's even a little exhausting just to read those out loud and to listen to it back and forth. You know, 10 very powerful statements, each of its own has multiple concepts in it. And so, you know, Kevin, you're our chief learning officer. And this is where I say it's your responsibility to sort through all of that and come up with some clarity. So you're on. What are you thinking now?
Then I'll seek some accountability here and put forward some ideas, Paul. So when I think in that, and you're right, it becomes a little bit mind-boggling to think of all the connection points in there and all of the things that it builds as potential outcomes of all those parts of the definition. But as we read through them and spoke them out loud, I think three key concepts seem to resonate the most. One is a clarity of expectations and consequences. And consequences, I think, is often used negative, but in the idea of healthy accountability, consequences can also be very positive. I know the expectation and that goalpost is not moving.
Yeah, and I actually think we could put the word shared expectations. And that even makes it even a little bit stronger, which is in this iterative process that you and I are going through, this is how we tackle a really ambiguous topic like this. So what's then the second theme?
The second theme is around, I would call it ownership of action and outcomes. I have to have some belief that I can take the concept or the idea or the request and I can put my own mark on it. I can make some decisions and move it forward. I can do some things in a time frame that works for me as well as for you. And so it's something in that sense of maybe shared ownership, but personal connection to that ownership, I believe.
Well, yeah. I mean, every human being is seeking that meaning and value in their work. And if you're not allowed to take ownership over it, then that basically we're saying we really don't care if you find meaning or purpose in this. And so I think that's a powerful theme right there that I know we can build on.
Well, we often talk about the idea that people want to know where they fit and why they matter. And I think that sense of ownership of action and outcome tells me where I fit and why I matter. So I think it plays right into that concept nicely.
I agree.
The third thing I think it really stands out and came through nicely in that is this idea of mutual trust and respect. That came through in several of these that I have to be able to be trustworthy and function in such a way that others can trust and count on me, but I also have to be able to extend trust and respect to others. And so my thinking there is if I'm struggling to trust someone, what's causing me to not trust them? And how can I have that conversation that allows us to clear that up so we can build mutual trust and respect so there's a sense of wanting to be accountable with one another?
Yeah, and mutual trust and respect. Wow, that's a big concept, often misunderstood and misinterpreted. And, you know, I have a client that recently explained his passion for this concept by saying that no matter who they are in the organization, no one wants to be talked down to. And so one of the things they ask in their engagement survey is, do you feel talked down to in this culture? And so if you do, then you're not going to be accountable out of a sense of ownership or a sense of passion. You're going to do it only because you're compliant. And we both know you can't build a high-performing organization off of compliance. It's just not the way to do it. So I think you've identified three really powerful themes that we can unpack and we can expand and use as the foundation for this, even though neither one of us at the moment has any idea what we're going to come up with for the definition of healthy accountability.
Yeah, but I think to your point there, each of those three pieces, actually, as I'm reflecting on what you just said about your client, the client's example of having a question in their engagement survey, is the three areas we just talked about can create some self-assessment for an individual. I can determine to what extent do I feel a sense of shared expectations. I can determine how much ownership I feel for something. I can determine how much I trust others or extend trust to them or believe they trust me. So I think any good definition, I have to have another way of not just hearing it theoretically, but turning into something practical. And I think each of those three components we just discussed allow that to happen. So I think that can be a very strong foundation for a solid definition of healthy accountability.
Well, yeah. And so that's a bridge into one of the more practical conversations that we had with the steering team when someone says, well, why is it so important that we create a definition of healthy accountability? And my only answer was to say, I started this business almost 15 years ago. And we were talking about this idea, our belief system that goodness pays. And it was a very powerful executive who said to me, you know what, I believe you, but until you do the research and define it, people are just going to think you're a do-gooder with a lofty opinion. And so it was like, okay, then we had to do the research. And with my partner, Paul Hillen, we did a deep and wide research project very similar to this one. And we landed on a simple definition that draws people in. And that definition, again, is when people thrive together in a culture of encouragement, accountability, and positive teamwork, people will label that as goodness. So we need to do the same thing for healthy accountability. It cannot be a negative, punitive concept. Otherwise, it doesn't align with goodness. What do you think about that, Kevin?
Well, I like you went back to the definition of goodness, because in there, with those three components, it allows me as a person to think about, where do I fit with that? Am I an encourager? Am I an accountability person, or am I a positive teamwork person? And I know we do all three as leaders, but there's one of those that typically resonates most with us. And so what I find with that definition allows people to not just understand goodness, but see themselves radiating goodness. And so the same thing has to happen with this definition of healthy accountability. I have to see it as clarity of what we mean, but I have to be able to see myself in it, making it better or living it well. And I think we're starting to unpack what those components might be to understand how that would look for a leader in an organization or an employee in an organization today.
Yeah, and similarly, you and I spend a lot of time on this concept of teamwork and getting things done with other people, because we all know that nothing significant ever happens alone. And we have proven with our research as well that there are two things that need to be present. It's relational capital, where people actually care about each other, and then structural integrity, where things are set up with clear roles and responsibilities, and there are redundancies to make sure we get things done. And we're learning that accountability has to be very similar. If we only think about it as a structural way, well, that's really kind of a compliant thinking. It's rules-based and punitive. And that when we start thinking about it as a relational concept, then the concept of helping people be accountable as opposed to holding people accountable. So what are you thinking about that as we start to explore that theme into the accountability realm?
Well, again, it changes the perception of accountability, because when it's all structural oriented, I can easily kind of place the blame or point the finger or push the responsibility of accountability to someone or something else. The system isn't there. The plan isn't there. The other person's not doing their part. I can structurally push that away and distance myself from it. When you bring in that relational capital element, now it's very personal. I have a connection to this. I have people that I have to care about or take care of or follow through on something for some reason. And that dramatically changes not only how accountability can be viewed, but I need to respond or react to it.
Yeah, and it's that respond or react thing that I think is so powerful, because we've been told over and over and over again that accountability is associated with a negative punitive context. And I'm recalling one of the first interviews that I did with a person who ended up being very active as a steering team member that day. We got them all together, said to me, Paul, I think we should just get rid of the accountability word altogether. And I said, I just don't think so. It's a word that is so commonly used in our society. And I think as leaders who believe in goodness, we need to accept the challenge to reframe it, because there are people who see accountability as a positive, thrilling concept. And you and I both know that the highest performing cultures that we've seen in our work as coaches People actually seek accountability rather than wait for it. And I know inside good leadership, that is true. I have people saying to me, I want that. I want to take that assignment and do something with it. And I hardly ever have to, as my role as CEO, hardly do I ever have to assign something. People usually grab it and run with it. And that's what seek accountability is. So, Kevin, what are you thinking about that, about just the sort of the splitting hairs of should we get rid of accountability, or, well, you know, what are your thoughts there?
What came into mind immediately when you said that was several years ago when people started saying we should do away with performance evaluations. And everyone thought that'd be a wonderful thing because we wouldn't have to ever have the tough, difficult discussion with people about what they're doing well or not doing well. But what we're finding is while it's hard to have that conversation when things aren't going well, people desire and need some sense of where they actually stand. It's the same thing with accountability. I think the natural reaction is if we take it away, then everything will be smooth. Everyone will feel comfortable. Everything will run without any negative tension in the room. But people are actually seeking that sense of, I want to know I've accomplished something good. So I'll relate it just back to a conversation I had this week with a professional services firm. And it was interesting. We talked about this idea of structural and relational. It was interesting. Almost every one of them said, one of the best structural things we have for accountability is our KPI system, how we measure our success. And I love that because I know where I stand and that what I'm doing really matters. So I get a really emotional high out of hitting those goals. So when I heard you say that, I just connected those two elements that they link together. We have a tendency to want to draw back from this and we should be leaning into it because it really does matter to people.
Yeah, and I'm reflecting back on part of the process of our steering team where we ask people to think about what were some of their earliest memories of accountability. And I have both personal things where my mom made me take out the garbage. And then I have professional. And when my first job was in a very small three-person public relations firm. It was extremely social. We did good work, but, you know, it wasn't very well organized. And ultimately, that sort of led to why I left there. But I was there 9 years. We grew and had a lot of fun. But not once in the 9 years did I ever have a performance review. So when I went to a bigger firm, and I was now reporting to the corporate chief operating officer, my best boss ever, she sat down and said to me, what has your experience been with performance review? And I said, never had one. And she said to me, you know what? These are my favorite things I do all year. And so I was like, huh? I was thinking it was a gotcha. And she was like, nope, this is my favorite thing I do all year. And she said, and for people who are new, we do them every 6 months, 3 6-month periods in a row. So you end up having 4 of them in your first 2 years. And I was like, I can't wait for my performance review. And I feel like I'm so lucky because she artfully framed it as her favorite work of the year. And so I just think we need to hang on to these accountability concepts. As good leaders, we need to figure out how to make them positive, make them attractive so people seek accountability. I think we can do it.
And I love that example you gave because what came to mind when you said that was she was role modeling the power of healthy accountability. I take it as a responsibility and an accountability of mine to share with you where you're at so you can be at your best. Well, why wouldn't I then as a person in the organization want to seek accountability? Because she's role modeling that. And I think that's why I come back to we shouldn't push this idea away. As leaders, we should embrace it because the more we role model it and show it as being good and not having a negative connotation, the more I think others can rally around that and also see it as good and not having a negative connotation.
I also remember what she told me in my first performance review. She said, we love your vision and your energy. People really want to follow you. And you have a lot to learn about what it means to be effective in this culture. And it was, there were some significant things that I had to learn in order to be effective. And ultimately, I was there for 7 years. I became the first partner there that never had a billing goal because they valued my creativity and my enterprising spirit. But they didn't value it after 6 months of me being there. And she did a great job of opening my mind and helping me understand the things that I needed to learn. And it was beautiful. So I cling to that as we start working on the design here, because I think accountability can be a positive, thrilling concept. So Kevin, you and I also have one other concept that we can teach to open people's minds about accountability as a healthy concept. And that is using the term healthy tension. Tension is important to every novel, to every sporting event. As we record this, we're watching March Madness in the background, right? And so what makes March Madness so thrilling? It's the tension of, will the underdog beat the Goliath here? And, you know, lots of buzzer beaters at the end. Tension is what makes life interesting. But if it's perceived as being unhealthy, that divides people. So you and I have been talking about healthy tension in every client we've had for the last 10 years. So where do you think that concept plays into this accountability research?
Well, we always talk about healthy tension in the context that harmony is the enemy of high performance. And harmony itself has an idea that I don't want to dwell too much on accountability, because that might feel bad. That might take away our sense of harmony. And so I think this leans right into the idea that putting together healthy, open accountability means we agree on the outcome, we agree on what's expected of one another, and we're willing to, as we always say, offer nagging rights with zero cost of candor. You have the right to come to me and say, this is not working, or this is not on track. And rather than holding that against you, I say, thank you. How can I now improve that? That's healthy tension. And when environments have that natural reflective defensive mechanism, it just tells us it's probably not healthy, and we'd rather have harmony than healthy tension.
Yep, very, very well said. So we will be having more of these podcast specifically talking about accountability, especially when we uncover new ideas and things that we think are making this project richer and more valuable. So stay tuned. We'll be coming back to you. And what's happening in our process now is that we are starting to do interviews inside research partner organizations. And after we do interviews, there'll be a broad-based survey that we're going to collect information for some benchmarking. So anyone listening to this podcast, there are multiple ways that you can participate. We have a 3-question survey on our LinkedIn site. And we also have, we will include people, individual contributors, people who are sole proprietors. You don't have to be a CEO of a large organization. You will have the opportunity to contribute to the survey that we do. So stay tuned. We've got lots of good things coming. So, Kevin, as we end our time today, any final thoughts about where we're at with the accountability research project?
Well, it's exciting to see us beginning to frame what a definition of healthy accountability may look like. As you said at the beginning, this is one of the wonkiest parts of a project like this, is narrowing in and actually being clear on what we mean and why it matters. And so just in this discussion, I think it's moving our thinking to another level about what could be and what should be in this definition. And I believe the interviews and the research we do will reinforce much of that, and actually probably help us adjust some of that to be as accurate as we can towards the end of this project.
Yeah, and for me, it's fun to see the excitement building. We're going to crescendo this work up to a peak on November 22nd, 2024. We're hosting a 6-hour conference to talk about all of the special things that we learned about the secrets to creating healthy accountability. And it's going to be really fun. I don't want to wish time away, but I'm excited to get to November 22nd. So thanks, Kevin. Thanks for all the work you're doing. Thanks for sorting through the spaghetti bowl of issues here. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today on the Good Leadership Podcast.
As a reminder, this podcast is just one of many resources for self-directed learning inside of our organization. So please check out all of that we offer on our website at goodleadership.com.
So as one more reminder, our firm, Good Leadership, is an organizational effectiveness coaching firm. We exist because everyone knows you can't have an effective organization without good leadership. And we believe you can't have good leadership without goodness. Our mission is to spread goodness through good leaders, because we've proven
goodness pays.
Yes, goodness pays.